Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Bob Dio, is engineering and producing on the other side of the glass. And together, we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Tuesday, August the 15th. We're at the midway point in August already, coming to you from AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice. And we have our worldwide live listening. If you're near a computer, you can hear our program anywhere in the world on my website, buckmastershow.com, and the station's fine website, kvoi.com. And today we resume our interview series presented by Pima Community College, and we welcome to the program Howard Stewart is here. Howard is the CEO of Tucson-based AGM Container Controls. Mr. Stewart is a huge supporter of higher education, and specifically Pima Community College, and he is implemented a tuition reimbursement program for his more than 100 employees who take classes from PCC. Howard, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you, Bill. It's my pleasure and honor to do so.
I wanted to get the word out about what I think it's terrific what you are doing and trying to help out your employees. How did all of this begin with your company at AGM? And just briefly, what is AGM?
AGM Container Controls is a manufacturer. About 62% of what we do is defense-oriented, so my employees understand that we're basically supporting the warfighter, and it's very important as such that we get products to the warfighter on time and with the appropriate quality to make sure that those are serviceable items.
And the tuition program, where did that come from?
My parents had began a tuition program, and when I returned to the company in 1989, I was sometimes surprised how infrequently it was used. Typically, there were never more than one or two participants partaking in the program, which I think is quite common with such programs.
And then you decided to kind of kindle the interest in this program. And so basically, Howard, how does it work, and how do you let your employees know that there is this opportunity?
Well, a basic program is based on the federal government will actually give a tax credit up to $5,250 per year for each student. And basically, the federal government is expecting these people to improve their education and their professional capacity. So we were partaking of it, but it wasn't. We didn't have much activity, I think, for one thing, because we only did 100% reimbursement for A's. I've now changed that to 100% for both A's and B's.
Oh, really?
And it was only 50% for C's, and I upped it to 75% for C's. So part of the change was incentivizing it differently. But another thing was actually like really promoting it within the company. I try to let my employees know when registration begins, when classes begin. I try to encourage them to either pursue their own interest, and it could be in something totally outside of AGM, or if they do something within AGM, that can actually very positively affect them at their time of their wage reviews.
And not only impact them on the wage reviews, but also it would seem like if it's an area that is related to work, that kind of helps the overall team, right?
Yeah, I'm part of a two CEO networks in town, and one of the common complaints I hear amongst my fellow CEOs is that there isn't the educated workforce here in Tucson for them to find employees, and that's it's a constant source of frustration. And so one of the things that I decided to do is, well, I just need to create my own. I need to use this program. I need to make it more successful. So, for example, whereas my guess is most companies don't exceed maybe 2 or 3% of their employees using the work their education plan at any one time, we've actually averaged at AGM 18% over the last 3 years.
You said that you're in a group with other CEOs here in Tucson. What is their reaction to what you're doing at AGM Container Controls?
Well, I've had some very positive reactions, and I think people are beginning to realize that this is not a Tucson problem. This is something that we as CEOs have to solve. And so, I've heard I've heard from a number of my fellow CEOs, they're beginning to understand why they need to be doing this at their companies. Sort of, if you look at the problem on a national level, in the next 5 to 7 years, we're going to start having 10,000 baby boomers retire every day. That's a lot of people to replace. And it doesn't look like we're going to be able to handle the problem through immigration, particularly considering that our the whole baby boom issue began with countries like World War II and Japan, countries that are more likely to share a lot of our Western values. They've got the same problem. They have a lot of retiring, you know, people. So we've got to fix this problem in-house, and the best way to do so is two-pronged. It's by educating our existing workforce, and frankly, it's also by reaching out to the community and helping those who are socioeconomically challenged to understand the importance of get educated and make more connections, roots, between high school and junior college in particular. It's my understanding that about 70% of high school graduates have absolutely no idea, Bill, what they're going to do after they graduate from high school. We've got to change that.
70%, 7 out of 10?
That's correct.
Whoa. And you see, and you've had great experience with Pima Community College, for a lot of these young people who really have no idea what they want to do, gives them an opportunity to kind of test the water, doesn't it?
It does. And I'm particularly big on what's known as STEM education, standing for science, technology, engineering, math. I'm particularly into encouraging my employees to take those routes. But again, as I said before, if one of my employees wants to become a nurse or a social worker or a teacher, for example, I'm very good with giving them the educational benefits to do so. Because what happens is when they're taking those classes, they are improving their math skills, their presentation skills, their keyboarding skills, et cetera, et cetera. And they're becoming much more valuable employees. But the other thing is, I feel really great whenever one of these kids actually graduates from these these programs are not related to what I do, and we get them out in the community. Because yes, we do need more trained factory workers, but we also need people who are more trained in these other areas as well. And I feel proud to be part of it.
We're speaking with Howard Stewart. Mr. Stewart is CEO of the Tucson-based AGM Container Controls. They have more than 100 employees. He's a big supporter of Pima Community College. The students going back to school in many cases, but for many of them, they've had no higher learning experience, and this really benefits his company, and he's trying to spread the word to other CEOs as well. How about cooperating with Pima? Have they been very supportive?
Pima has been incredibly supportive, in particular, Lee Lambert and Ian Warwick.
Chancellor Lambert, yeah.
Yeah, and Lee and I have made a couple of joint presentations, as have Ian and I on this, and we're planning to do more. Right now, for example, we're working to get in front of the Tucson Metro Chamber, Board of Directors, of which I am a member, as well as a couple of their affiliate groups, Greater Tucson Leadership and a Emerging Leaders Council.
How about hours for your employees that want to go back to school? The nice thing about Pima, they have a lot of kind of flex hours for the students.
Yeah, Pima has incredible flex hours. Mm-hmm. While sometimes it is necessary for us to make time for the employees to leave during work. In fact, I have I don't just offer this to my full-time workers. I offer it to my part-time workers. So as long as somebody's working at least 20 hours a week, They are eligible to receive up to 5,250 hours of reimbursement.
Are you hiring?
I am hiring. I probably have hired a half dozen workers in the last two weeks. So there's still a few positions that we're looking at.
And your workers are mainly need. Are they highly skilled workers then, or?
We have a range.
All levels?
We have a range. Okay. We basically bring in people who have no skills to begin with, and then we try to mentor them within the company, but we also try to encourage them to do this outside education so they can rise up in the company. And I actually have a number of production workers who've been able to move into support roles in the company, places like inventory control, quality, and a few who've even made it into the sales department.
Well, I certainly hope that other CEOs will pick up the ball here, because this is a great way to get more skilled workers into our workforce, because I've been hearing that. I've been in town, Howard, about 30 years, and I have heard that over and over again from our employers in town. We just don't have enough skilled workers.
That's correct. And in addition to the flexibility that Pima offers, I think the other thing that's of significant value is their classes, on average, only cost 27% that, for example, of the University of Arizona's. So people are able to go over there relatively inexpensively, which means, frankly, if I have an employee who chooses to go through Pima, I mean, I'll support U of A or Pima, but if they go through Pima, they're going to be able to do get through more classes. And the other thing that a lot of people don't realize about Pima is how strong it is from the standpoint of if a student at Pima has a B average, on average, when they transfer, say, into the University of Arizona, they will be able to continue with that B average. So it's their standards are just as high as the University of Arizona's. My personal feeling is the teaching that is perhaps stronger, because at Pima, those teachers are entirely focused on teaching. They're not siphoned off into research.
All right, Howard Stewart, CEO of AGM Container Controls. If any of our listeners want more information, they can certainly call you at AGM Container Controls.
Yes, that'd be great. Or they can also
go to the Pima website, pima.edu. That's another great place to go to.
That's correct.
Okay, Howard, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Howard
My
Stewart,
pleasure.
CEO of AGM Container Controls, and he is certainly to be commended on what he is doing with his employees, and hopefully others will pick up the ball. We'll be right back. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport, with 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Hi, Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. IncredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Wednesday at noon, a newsmaker interview with Pima County Supervisors Chair Sharon Bronson. Also, a re-airing the Ward 3 City Council debate. Buckmaster airs on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice, and we've got our worldwide live listening podcasts and show archive on my website, which is buckmastershow.com.
Shelley Fishman is a certified financial planner professional. The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
Well, I'll tell you who we're going to consult with right now, and that's Mr. Shelley Fishman, Certified Financial Planner. Shelley, how are you? How's your week?
I am well, Bill. Week's going pretty good. No rain, but we've had enough for a while anyway.
I think this little lull in the monsoon is being welcome, certainly up at our house, where it seems like we had another 2 to 3 inch rain on Saturday night. Last week, the markets headed south. There's no question about it. We picked up a little bit, I believe, yesterday.
Yeah, we picked up yesterday, and today looks like it's turned positive, at least marginally positive. We're up. Just to give you an idea, year to date, the Dow is up about 10%.
10%?
Right.
Okay.
The S&P is up about 8.2%.
Mm-hmm.
And the NASDAQ is up about 14.7%. Now, those numbers are when I ran them earlier this morning. So
those are good gains.
Yeah, those are really good gains. Yeah. Those are year to date gains. Mm-hmm. So we're 8.5 months into the year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you add in the Dow, a couple of points for dividends, and if you add a little bit less than that in the S&P, because the Dow stocks are going to be more likely, the largest 30 stocks, they're going to be more likely to pay dividends than the average S&P stock. And in the NASDAQ, you don't get a lot of dividends.
Mm-hmm.
So if you add, say, 3% to the Dow, you're at 13. So that's getting closer to where the NASDAQ is. And if you add like 2 to the S&P, that brings it around 10. So year to date, we've had a very, very nice market rise. As far as the Dow is concerned, we were up above 22,000 for a couple of days. Now we've dropped down just below that. As of right now, we're up actually just above it again.
Consumers, are they spending more?
They're not. They did in July. July, the numbers peaked. They very often do in July. We had very good employment numbers. We had a nice peak in the rise in wages in July. But yeah, you can't look at 1 month. You have to take a look at a period of time that's more representative of what a number means. And so if, for instance, you take a look at consumers so far this year, the year-over-year gains have been 3.4%, and that's through last Friday. And that's consumer staples. Now, 3.4%, you would think, well, that's pretty good. But when other sectors are growing at much larger figures than that.
Yeah, you just gave us those figures of double digits on the markets.
Exactly.
But then you look at consumer spending, and I'm asking you now, what is that correlation?
Well, the correlation, consumer spending is very correlated to the economy in general, because at this point, 69 or 70% of the GDP is consumer spending related. So when that slows down a bit, then that drags down the entire growth of the economy. So we have some stars out there. I mean, there are some sectors like in technologies, certainly biotech and some others. The oil sector has been hot this year, though it certainly hadn't been the
year
before.
Which is a bit surprising.
Well, you know, the price of crude plummeted and then stabilized and then crawled up a little bit. We're at a point now with the price of crude where we can actually afford to open up those wells and get that secondary and tertiary recovery again. So what we're seeing is certain sectors of the economy are doing very, very well. The largest single sector of the economy is doing, on average, a little bit below what we think it ought to be doing. And that's consumers.
Consumers.
And so the problem there, Bill, is that if you're a manager in a consumer-related product company, your willingness to invest money in new plant, just to grow
equipment,
your capacity.
The whole thing.
Equipment.
Right.
Exactly. That becomes very tentative. We added, just in the last quarter, $60 billion. Companies added $60 billion in just loose cash, and they're not spending it. And that's a problem that we've had, and you and I have talked about here on this program several times, because when companies don't reinvest, they have several choices of what they can do with the cash. They can leave it there in cash for a while to see if, well, maybe things will get better for us and the forecast, our forecasters will say we're going to have a booming year the next 5 years and they'll invest it. Or they can return it to the shareholders in the form of dividends, or they can return it to the market in the form of buying back their shares. They can also return another way, which is to convert debt, bonds that they might issue or other debt that they use to finance their business, and convert that by retiring that debt and maybe not buying back stock. So equity has a cost, and debt has a cost. The cost of equity, if you're not, you have more flexibility in how you determine what the cost of equity will be because your board of directors determines what the dividends will be every quarter. Mm-hmm. So you can reduce your costs and control that. The thinking right now is we still have about $1 trillion here in the United States, not even the trillion that's parked offshore, but $1 trillion in uninvested capital right here in the U.S. And quite frankly, until those consumer-driven numbers come up to a range of 4, 4.5, 5%, you're going to see hesitance on the part of corporate managers to reinvest that capital, either by building new plant, new machinery, or by hiring people on a full-time basis. What they're going to continue to do is this just-in-time kind of manufacturing, where they either invest that money in overtime for the existing employees or part-time employees where the cost of those employees is significantly less.
Just-in-time translates to uncertainty.
Exactly. And so as an investor, you wonder, well, how does that drive the strategy I should be having? Mm-hmm. Should I expect to be getting 10 or 14% on my investments? If you're a 35-year-old and you're all in, that's what you're going to be getting. But of course, when the market tanks, and at some point it will, mm-hmm.
you could go negative, definitely.
100% correlation. To give you an idea, I just pulled some real numbers. I have a client here who has an 80-20 allocation. Mm-hmm. They're fairly aggressive. They're young. Mm-hmm. And year-to-date, they are at 12.16% year-to-date. So they're running right with the market and the dividends. By contrast, the flip side of that, which is a 20% equities, 80% a mix of, mm-hmm. Bonds, is almost 7%, and that's including dividends. So in any other year, that would be a pretty good return, and given the fact that it's protected in low volatility.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the way I look at numbers in terms of what my expectations this year are for, say, a retired couple or a retired person, you know, should be getting in the area for the year about 10%. Mm-hmm. If they're properly allocated. A young person who's much more aggressive and has a longer time frame, you know, should be closer to what the market's doing. And so far, you know, that's in the double digits, low double digits. Now, as you know, LPL and my broker-dealer thinks that's about as much as we're going to get this year. So we'll see. But if you're looking at your portfolio and you're looking to kind of benchmark it against some things, that gives you some guidance about, you know, what is possible in a fairly conservatively managed account.
All right, Shelley Fishman, a good reason to call Shelley, talk about your particular financial needs. And Shelley can be reached very easily on my website.
You bet. Just go to thebuckmastershow.com and hit the link and send me an email and I return the call.
Thank you very much. Have a great week.
You too, Bill.
Bye-bye.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is an LPL Financial Planner. Shelley can be reached at 520-940-0884 or at his website, shelleyfishman.com. Securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC.
Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant, named after the classic New Orleans cocktail. Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Philip's Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Philip's Plaza.
The Arizona Wildcats kick off the 2017 football season on September 2nd with Fan Appreciation Night and an exclusive bobblehead giveaway of NFL superstar Rob Gronkowski. There are several ticket packages, including one that guarantees you your own Gronk bobblehead. Go to ArizonaWildcats.com/FB to buy your tickets now and learn more, or call 621-CATS. Single game tickets start at just $12.
The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects helping make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient, and improve mobility leads to a better economy and new jobs through the increased flow of people, goods, and services. More efficient access gets us to where we want to go faster, and that means more time for family. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from top national columnists, plus Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
What comes to mind when you envision the holidays? If it means surrounding yourself with family and friends as you welcome treasured traditions, just imagine if those moments were paired with sinking your toes in fine white sand and exploring quaint seaside towns. This winter, spend your holiday with a sense of adventure on a family reunion vacation. At Bon Voyage, we specialize in bringing generations together through travel. This is the perfect time to plan. Call Bon Voyage Travel at 797-1110.
The Twisted Tandoor, the legendary Indian food truck, now has a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu expands on the popular Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, it's at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive and on the web at thetwistedtandoor.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show Tuesday edition. Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, one of our fine sponsors, and they do such a nice job with their tourism over there. It's only about a three-hour drive, and this time of year, 15 degrees cooler in that area with that mile-high elevation. You can explore historic Silver City or just relax in a lovely environment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of great places to stay and visit in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. We welcome now to the Buckmaster Show the Chief of the University of Arizona Police Department, Brian Seastone. Chief, how are you?
Doing well. Thank you very much.
It's been a very busy couple of days for you. All this worldwide publicity over the Willem de Kooning, painting, Woman Ochre, being returned to its rightful home at the University of Arizona, where it was stolen more than 31 years ago, the day after Thanksgiving 31 years ago, a day that Chief Seastone remembers very well, don't you?
Yes, I do.
What happened that day?
Well, the museum had just opened, and it's the day after Thanksgiving, so not many people on campus, obviously. These two people, a man and a woman, came into the art museum right as it opened. The lady spoke to some of the folks downstairs, and the gentleman went upstairs. Very short time period later, he came down kind of in a hurry, and they left. That obviously drew a lot of attention to them. And one of the security guards went upstairs and found that the painting had been taken, cut out from its frame.
And this was kind of a distraction. The woman was like trying to kind of distract while this guy cut out the painting.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah. And so what is that like now for you to come back all these years later? I mean, you didn't really come back to the museum. Of course, you've been on campus all this time, but it must be very odd that it's kind of a closure, if you will.
It is. It's an incredible feeling to see the painting back home. I've always been a very optimistic person, and 31 years ago when this happened, I said it would be back. I was just confident one day we would see her back on campus, and what a great homecoming it's been this week.
And I read in the Star today there was like $400,000 insurance money, which the university received but now has returned to the insurance company. But initially that money was used for security at the Museum of Art, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, and then this was turned over to the FBI, and they've had a file on this going on. And this file is still open, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's an active investigation.
Yeah.
We knew the magnitude of this the day of the theft, so we brought in the FBI right away that day. We talked to Interpol, local state authorities, trying to get out the description of the folks. So it's been an ongoing case, albeit not active because there haven't been many leads over the years.
The hero is this David Van Ocker, the Silver City, New Mexico furniture and antiques dealer, who came upon the painting while he was pretty much at an estate sale in the Silver City area, and he went on to buy pretty much all the goods at the estate sale. But then someone, I guess, came into his shop and said, that looks like de Kooning.
Yes.
And then he started to research it, and, you know, sure enough, he found out it had been missing, and he steps up. I mean, he's the Good Samaritan here.
He's incredible.
I mean, he wanted to do right from the very beginning.
Absolutely. He immediately reached out to the university, said, I think you have our I have your picture. And from there, things just really ramped up very quickly. He, from the moment he found it and knew what it was just convinced it needed to come back to the university as quickly as possible. He has been amazing and is a perfect example of what we say, that many crimes are solved by people who see something, it doesn't seem right, he said something, and wow, what an incredible story.
Yeah, I mean, this painting is considered one of de Kooning's masterpieces, and it's valued. It's pretty hard sometimes to put a real value on a piece, but certainly $150 to maybe $160 million. So this is huge. Now, the investigation, as we just said, Chief, is still open because there are still questions, aren't there, around this whole thing? Like, how did the people that had the estate sale, how did they come upon the painting?
Yes.
So we need to try to figure out, and I know you and your team are trying to do this, kind of trace some of the history over the last 30 years. Where has this thing been?
Boy, if she could talk, she'd have a great story.
Oh, but, yeah.
That's what we're trying to find out now, and we now have some ways to start backtracking. So, again, with the help of the FBI, and we'll see what we can come up with.
Now, this de Kooning, as I recall, was part of the Gallagher collection. The Gallaghers have donated. They a lot to the university. There's a theater named on campus, the Gallagher Theater. So for this to come home, it's a real sense of closure, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I have said over the last week, 31 years ago, there were lots of tears of sorrow, disappointment, shock. And last Monday when this came home, there were tears of joy and happiness. And I don't think people have stopped smiling since last Monday.
You went over to Silver City, right?
No, I did
okay,
not.
You did not.
I did not personally, okay. But we had people go over and bring it back.
And the Silver City Police Department actually held the painting one night in the jail, or they had it in a safe or something.
It was the Grant County.
Grant County Sheriff's Department.
That helped us out.
And so kudos to them.
They've been amazing.
They listen to our show. They're a sponsor of the program, so it's wonderful that they helped out.
They are just wonderful folks. They have been so helpful from the very first day.
So the condition of the Willem de Kooning painting is pretty good, I guess, huh?
Well, I'm not the art person.
I know, but
it needs stabilization.
Yeah.
It needs to be restored a little bit, and that is all up to the art museum, and they're working on that to make sure that it's restored so it can be put back where it's been missed for 30 years.
And it will be on view probably pretty soon, I guess, after it's worked on.
We'll see. I don't
Could
know how
months.
Long
Who
this
knows,
will take.
But anyway,
yes.
I only have a couple of minutes with the chief, and this is actually serendipitous because I booked your appearance a couple of weeks ago. I must be psychic or something.
You're good.
Chief C. Stone. no, because the original appointment was set to talk about back to school, which the town kind of comes alive, let's face it, Chief, when the UA is back in session. So things are starting to really pick up. Could you give some advice to our listeners, just some tips? We always have people who are new to the community. What can you tell them?
Best thing is all of a sudden you're going to see a swell in traffic.
Yep.
Around the university in particular and around town. Slow down a little bit. People get sidetracked around the university. We don't always look up because we're texting and other things. Again, everything that mom and dad have always told us, close the door, lock the door, watch out for each other, report those strange and unusual activities.
Is the campus generally a safe campus when compared to other schools around the country?
It is, and that's always tough because you're comparing.
Yes.
But our crime statistics are mostly dealing with alcohol, drugs, theft, and burglary, crimes against property versus the crimes against people. We still have them, but it's a great place.
Do you do speed enforcement zones around the university?
Absolutely. And the first couple weeks of school, you'll see an increased emphasis on there. We're looking specifically for pedestrian and bicycles. But of course, everybody is, I don't want to say fair game, but we'll definitely want to stop and talk to them and help them make better decisions.
All right. Brian Seastone, the chief of police, who's been with the U of A Police Department, pretty much started your career there, didn't you, Brian?
I did 37 years ago.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, congratulations. A lot of excitement for you. You were featured today, I believe, on the Today Show, right?
I was.
That went well, I'm sure. And so congratulations and good luck with the new semester.
Thank you, and always a pleasure to be here.
Thank you very much. The Buckmaster Show. We'll be right back.
American Openings is pleased to sponsor Hands of Hope. Hands of Hope believes every life matters, and they're committed to walking alongside women to provide confidential, non-judgmental care so they can make the best decisions when unsure about continuing with a pregnancy. You can learn more about Hands of Hope at GiveHopeTucson.com. American Openings is a locally owned door and window manufacturer and is blessed to be a sponsor of a local ministry doing so much to protect life.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority is on track to deliver the remainder of the promised projects in the 20-year plan, now in its 11th year. A recent 10-year performance audit finds the RTA sticking to the plan and schedule. The RTA applauds our members and partners for helping us to stay on schedule and to improve our transportation network for everyone. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, this portion presented by our friends over at Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk. The rains have come and greened everything up, so now what do you need to do? You need to start thinking about your fall planting. I know I need geraniums, I need a couple of rose plants. And where will I head? Green Things, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. 13 acres, everything you could possibly need for gardening. GreenThingsAZ.com. Got a really nice website. Let's go now on the Buckmaster Show live line to Mr. Keith Rosenblum. And we usually check in with Keith, one of our two dozen or so contributors to the Buckmaster Show, at least once a month. Keith has been writing about the border and covering the border for decades. And we're just delighted that he's on board. How are you, Mr. Rosenblum?
Mr. Rosenblum speaks only to, I'm in a kind of a Nicolas Maduro frame of mind, and I would like to depose the other 23 can be just your single go-to person for the Buckmaster Show. That's how I am.
I've got some headlines in front of me. Here's one. Officials scramble after U.S. travelers blackout in Mexico. Crime wave threatens tourist mecca of Cancun. Cartel conflicts send tides of violence toward Mexico's top beach resorts. If some folks read these headlines and they were thinking about a kind of a trip to Mexico, they may think twice about it.
Oh, no, they won't. I believe those were all written by the director of tourism for the state of Hawaii. They won't. I'm telling you, they will not. They will. Those types of headlines are, I think that at this point we read through them. If you'll beg with me for one sec to make a political reference, I think initially people were stunned by one new Donald Trump headline after another.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we've now become inured to it.
Okay.
And so if I may, I believe that the inuring process of Mexico nightmare stories, it would take something far more than cartel violence to do it. And go, I challenge you to go to Mexico City Airport and try.
How's your cell doing?
Your pardon?
Your cell phone was kind of cutting in and out. So you
said that. Anyway, I could try to get a flight to any of these destinations. You won't. These are prosperous times with plenty of Americans, plenty of Europeans, and plenty of Mexicans themselves. And those headlines mean almost zilch to 99% of the population.
However, counterfeit alcohol has been kind of a problem, hasn't it, in Mexico?
As it is in rural Tennessee, yes.
Okay. So, but the Mexican government has issued some warnings that counterfeit alcohol is out there. So,
You know, in the world of the Mexicans respond as fast as anybody to a negative story. And so, and actually, I'll give you a quick crash course. There's called the NOM, and what it means is Norma Oficial Mexicana. And what that means is those are the technical standards. So in any area like health or environmental issues or whatever, as we do, as EPA does, as our Department of Health or as our Human Resources, as our Secretary of Defense, as we have standards, the Mexicans generally fall in line with whatever our standards are, USDA, for example. And the question has never been, do they have good standards? The question in Mexico has always been one of enforcement. In other words, is what's on the books being enforced? And so what you're talking about, whether it's grain alcohol or things that are substituted, if you're talking about even in tourism, for we don't even have this in the U.S., where we have how many stars there are in a resort.
Right.
So we use the term five-star resort, but we don't even know what we're talking about.
Right.
in a lot of countries, that actually has meaning. Five stars means it has this kind of pool, so many square feet per room, these kind of amenities. And those are included in technical standards. So it's really an interesting. And what's happened now is that in the world of social networking,
yes,
a lot of these things that happen, they do go on, Bill. I'm not trying to run cover for the Mexicans. Well, what happens is they get corrected very fast. Mm-hmm. And so someone that thought that 30 years ago or 40 years ago, I remember flying Aeromexico 30 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And when the cabin was overbooked, they would allow one or two people to fly where the stewardesses sat or in the cockpit. It was great.
Yeah.
Because these are human. They want someone to leave. It wasn't, you know, we don't want to leave Keith behind.
Right.
Come on up here. We'll make room for you. That's the kind of thing that Federal Transport Association, whatever I'm thinking of, would fine an airline if not ground them forever. So that was Mexico 30 years ago. It's not Mexico today, either on a domestic flight or an international flight. But what I'm getting at is that the enforcement in Mexico across the board has gotten very close to being as good, and sometimes it's actually more strict than it is in the U.S.
Keith, since we last talked, it's a shame we did lose the Guaymas Air Service. Some of your thoughts, please, sir.
My thoughts are that, number one, I like to get on a big aircraft no matter what. And the last time I boarded air service to Mexico from Tucson, it was on a DC-9 and a Stretch 80, I think, MD-80, Aeromexico.
This current round was really, there's nothing wrong with that plane. It is a prop plane, a turboprop. I've flown it myself, that particular aircraft, but people do want a jet these days, I guess.
Well, I think people want it, but on the other hand, they'd be willing to go with it. But my thinking was this.
Okay.
I didn't use the service. But that's because my brain doesn't really function well. And so if you tell me that a flight's going to be 4 days a week, or even 5 days a week, it causes a tremor in me because I can't grasp that. I can't grasp a bus or anything that goes Friday, Saturday, Tuesday.
Right.
My fear that I won't get on, the cool thing about the Aeromexico flights, this is both the four-stop, which was Guaymas, Mazatlan, La Paz, Mexico City, or the other flight, the Hermosillo flight, which was Tucson, Hermosillo, I think Obregón, Los Mochis, Culiacán, Guadalajara, and Mexico City. Those were 7 days a week on top of being big aircraft. Is the demand there? Yes. And I saw David Hatfield's remarks in the Daily Star, and he's right on the money. But the problem is, I think, staggered services. I just don't think that's not something that a lot of people can deal with. And I think, by the way, when you look at service to San Diego or L.A., or you look at services that are that same distance, because you're only talking about 240 miles from Tucson to Hermosillo,
right?
Getting to the airport, 2 hours ahead of time, and now they're telling us longer because of computer checks and things like that. Basically, people will still try to do that on the ground as opposed to all the hassles of checking in. Going to Mexico, is that part of the hassle. Coming back to the States, normally we're clearing people through at airports within 15, 20 minutes. It's a very quick process, as opposed to ground, which can take anywhere from half an hour to 2 hours if you're unlucky enough.
Well, I still think the demand is there. I think we can all agree on that. It's just going to be finding the right vehicle, right?
It is finding the right vehicle. And the weird thing is that a lot of people don't fly to Mexico, or they wouldn't from my times, 15, 20 years back, because the fear of the high cost of Mexican rental cars when you get to a destination.
Oh, yeah.
Mexico was infamous at that time for charging. It seemed like in the U.S., you don't pay extra for a door. And the Mexicans seem to figure out ways to nail you at every turn.
A steering wheel. You want a steering wheel?
The steering wheel will be extra. And now it's the reverse. Now the fares, I've been checking lately, the fares to rent at Mexican airports, I'm talking Hermosillo, Guadalajara, Mexico City, Juarez, these are rental cars. They're running $10 and $12 and $14 a day. But that's really not a factor any longer. And plus, the Mexicans were sharp enough to put bus stations or bus terminals a lot of times within the airport.
Right.
So if you're going to go to a place like you want to go to Querétaro or Aguascalientes or Cuernavaca, You just fly into Mexico City and you just hop on a bus right there at the airport. We have no coordination whatsoever between buses and aircraft.
That's right. Keith Rosenblum, we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks. Thank you, Keith.
Thanks, Bill.
All right, Keith Rosenblum, we talked to him about Mexico, one of our contributors. The full list of the Buckmaster Show contributors at buckmastershow.com. That's where we have all of our daily programs, too. We've got podcasts going back at least 6.5 years, pretty much the historical content of Tucson over the past 6.5 years. Coming up this afternoon, Mic Check, Ray Allen. Or Bob, are you going to be doing Mic Check? Yeah, Bob Dio will be doing helping out Mike Shaw, the two of them from 4 to 5 with Mic Check, and then Wake Up tomorrow from 6 to 9. Me, Buckmaster, back at noon. Have a great afternoon and evening.